welcome to the Happy Rant Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined, as always, in studio by my good friends, my partners in radio, Barnabas Piper, Ronald J. Martin, and my new microphone. All three of my partners in radio are here in the studio. Pipe, it's been a long time since we've had you on the program. I feel like you're a little rusty. I feel like this is like a comeback game for you, where we knock the rust off for a couple of minutes and then you turn in your usual virtuoso performance. But you're back.
Yeah,
you're back.
Time away has been good, you know, refreshment of mind and body. So I feel like I'm in a good spot.
It's kind of like a retreat. Nobody on this episode would know anything about what retreats feel like, but I feel like that's what you've had. You've had a little retreat, a little celebrity wedding thrown in there, which we'll need to hear about. And let's talk about it, boys. While we all enjoy a hot cup of Red Bud City coffee, Red Bud Coffee Roasters. They're the official coffee sponsor of the Happy Rant Podcast. Piper, tell them where they can find Red Bud Coffee.
Yeah, if you go to redbudcoffee.com, they have it's a rotation of roasts. So they have one or two standards. And then so right now I just ordered some yesterday. And so I ordered a Kenyan roast and a Costa Rican roast. They have a Brazilian. I think they have a Mexican one. They have a few. Ooh. They have an espresso roast. Very easy to navigate. So redbudcoffee.com and then use the code HAPPYRANT at checkout and you get 10% off your entire order. If you, like me, are a quantity drinker, so you drink a lot of coffee, they sell your standard 12-ounce bags, but then they sell 36-ounce bags too. So you can go all in on some of these. And that Happy Rant code gives 10% off the whole order. Doesn't really matter what it is. So go take care of that and get yourself some coffee.
There we go. That's a good promo read, Pipe. That's mid-season form by you. We would expect. Isn't that great, Ronald? Isn't it nice to have Barnabas back on the show?
It really is, because obviously we do not possess a lot of skill in that particular area.
We don't, baby. And it takes a lot of maturity to admit that out loud. So thanks for that. But Piper's fresh off a celebrity wedding, which you were eager to hear about, Ronald.
Yeah, and, the celeb wedding. You have to be a Piper probably to have a celeb wedding if you're not royalty. So I think he's one step removed from royalty, but he is royalty in our tribe. So I want to hear about what it's like to have a bunch of celebs kind of marrying you and watching you get married.
Yeah, it was my wedding, just to clarify for listeners. I wasn't just attending a celebrity wedding.
You know what? That's just good journalism. I mean, we kind of buried the lead there in that it was your wedding. So
it was good clarification. I also would like to know, just for the sake of clarity, which of the people there do you consider celebrities, just so that I can talk up the right folks? Like, do I count?
Well, I don't know.
Well, I mean, besides your dad and Ray Ortland and the other seven A-list pastors that were in the audience, I don't know, Pipe, you tell us. So.
Wait, what other A-list pastors were in the audience?
No, it was those two, but they did comprise like 15% of the attendees, those two people. So if I'm included in like the pseudo-celebrity camp, I'm a co-host of a monstrosity of a podcast. Fully 20% of the people in attendance were reformed celebrities in that case.
That's big, Pipe, because again, if we go to a wedding in like the UK, you know, with the royals, it's not going to be 100% celebs. It's probably going to be about 20.
Maybe you go to a wedding in the UK with all the American pastors who are getting their doctorates over there and have their cohort at the same time.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah.
But if it was like a royal wedding, everybody would have a title, which unfortunately we don't give out in the United States. You know, it'd be like Duke of this and Lord of that and whatever, which just it adds a level of class, which we lack in the United States.
Lord Ortland.
Well, we're Americans. We're the worst. So
yeah, what would his title be? Would he be like Ray Ortland?
I would say he's like the
Duke of Williamson County or what?
The Duke of Ortland. I like that, man.
Dude, Ortland just sounds royal.
Ortland is royalty. That's just like a royalty sounding name.
Yeah, and I feel like my dad would be Lord Piper. I think that's Ortland and Lord Piper. I got married in the last week of July, and Ray Ortland officiated the ceremony. So it's sort of doubly blessed. You know, you've got the fact that God was in everything, but then when Ray speaks those words, it has an additional gravity to it. And then my dad was in attendance as was my mom. And he did not play a part in the ceremony because – so here's one of the best things about Ray Ortland that stands out from almost every other Reformed pastor I've ever met. Mm-hmm. He excels at brevity.
It
was like a 12 to 15 minute ceremony.
Yeah, tell us what that's like. We have no idea.
He's so good at being like, what is the point of what we're doing? Let's just get to the point. So like if you sit down at a meal with Ray and he prays over the meal, his prayer usually goes something like, dear Lord, thank you so much for this food. Amen.
You mean the meal's not like cold and like turned by the time he's done with his
No, it's the kind of thing where like the waiter's like, here, let me get you a refill on that drink. And he can pray between the waiter asking to get you the refill and then bringing the refill back. That's
clutch, dude. Wow. That is so clutch.
His homily was admittedly a bit of a fog in my mind, being that it was a big day, but maybe 5 to 7 minutes.
Wow.
And then there's none of we didn't add in a whole bunch of like extraneous stuff, partly because it was a small ceremony, just family. And then partly because we don't like all that stuff. No special music. We didn't have a big wedding party. My daughters were the only two who stood up.
Nice.
Cause honestly, if we had picked like close friends and family to stand up, everybody in attendance would have been standing the whole time. So that would have been weird.
Sure. It would have been a service at our church.
just like aerobic stand up, sit down
for an hour.
But yeah. And then we, you know, so we did it at this old house, an old farmhouse in Brentwood, Tennessee. And
yeah, that looked dope. The pictures looked dope.
Oh, it was a beautiful place. They've done a great job kind of refurb, like keeping the old feel, but, you know, putting in things like central air and stuff so it's comfortable.
I actually think half the old farmhouses in Brentwood are like faux and they're just for photo ops.
this one, like they have historical plaques and stuff. So it's, you know, dates back to the late 1800s. I did for anybody wondering, I did verify it was not a plantation house because I was like, I don't know if I want to get married at a plantation. Apparently that's
Ron and I were concerned. We were about to shame you for it.
Yeah. I was getting canceled on my own podcast. Signal. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we did dinner all together, which, you know, basically felt like a big, wonderfully catered family dinner because everybody there, you know, there wasn't a big crowd. And then of course the two celebrities began talking about death at their end of the table.
Of course, leave it to a couple of Reform guys to lighten the mood.
Yeah. You know, Ray was laughing about death and, because he's joyful and my dad was lighthearted, but also like just sitting there 10 minutes. I'm like, what is happening? Why are we talking about morbidity and death? And when we kick the bucket and, you know.
They should team up and do a podcast just on death. And like, no joke, I would listen to it.
It'll be a blend. They'll really balance each other out, T. You know what I mean? Like, you get like Ortland's optimism. You get like Piper's intensity. I mean, that'll be something else.
Dude, I would legit listen to that.
They're both so realistic. Like, they're both, you know, so Ray's 70. My dad's 74 or so. And
they're like, yo, we're going to be dead soon.
Yeah, they're like, I don't know how much time I have left. I got to use the time I have. I got to, you know, make the most out of these days. I have to, you know, love my family well and, you know, serve as well as I can. And they're starting to talk about, you know, making sure that the people they're leaving behind are well taken care of. And there's just there's a clarity, like there's no sort of tap dancing around the subject. It is a little bit odd when those are the conversations at a wedding reception. However,
time and a place for it, maybe not there, but
you know, I think my dad generally thinks, you know, this every moment could be his last, so why not talk about it whenever? And real fun at a celebration.
I love it, dude.
But yeah, so that was the extent of it for the most part, and then Lauren and I got to leave the country and go to Mexico for a week for our honeymoon, and that's where when you guys really stepped up and filled the void and recorded an episode, and really, you know, just appreciate you taking over and just handling all of that. I didn't think about it once, I'm gonna be honest.
Dude, listen, no problem. I mean, I don't want you to celebrate us for what we were able to do, but
it was probably hard not to while you were at your celeb honeymoon in Mexico, not just thinking about us, thinking, man, my appreciation and gratefulness for them has just grown.
Yeah, dude, my heart's full. You know, and you're like, you're sitting on the patio of your condo in Mexico, like staring out wistfully into the ocean. And your lady's like, she's like, babe, what are you thinking about? And you're just like, Ted and Ron, you know, just thinking about the work they're doing, how they're kind of suffering in my absence. And, you know, just full heart.
Processing a little guilt, but at the same time knowing that, man, they've stepped up in a way.
Just working through some stuff.
She really appreciated that I thought it was more valuable to be present there than recording podcasts. I think that was significant.
That's surprising, I think, to me and T.
Yeah, I mean, that might be a problem, actually. But
in the future, that could present itself.
We'll address it, dude. We'll address it off.
Do we need to define the nature of these relationships and the boundaries?
I think we do. Yeah, we need to DTR this thing. Absolutely. we all, you know, we all enter into this marriage covenant with different expectations, you know, and we need to hash it all out. But boy, speaking of expectations, I want to talk about a thing, Piper, that you shared in our group chat. It was a screenshot from Twitter.
It was so good.
It was really funny. It was alternately like probably the best day of Ron's year for certain reasons. And then and then somebody in the comments got a little shot fired at you,
Piper. Baby, if this is my best day, I've really had it's been a bad, bad, bad year.
Well, it's been a horrible year for maybe everyone and maybe especially you, but, I just want to read this thing. And I don't know do I want to say the names or the screen names of the people that wrote these things?
Just fire away, man.
Maybe I do.
Sure, so why not?
At Brian Rector said this. This is positive. So shout out to at Brian Rector for saying
yeah,
this.
Yeah, he was being very kind and upbeat and trying to find some redeeming things in Twitter.
He says this. I know that certain sections of Christian Twitter seem like a dumpster fire. No way. Wow. He goes, I know that certain sections of Christian Twitter seem like a dumpster fire. However, the section that guys like at Jared C. Wilson, at Ronnie J. Martin. Now, at this point, Ron's heart is just soaring, right? Because all that Twitter work that you've put in, baby, all the hours, the blood, sweat, and tears crafting those poetic Yoda tweets, they're kind of feeling like they're paying off, okay? So he's like, however, the section that guys like at Jared C. Wilson, at Ronnie J. Martin, at Joe Thorne,
whoa,
at Barnabas Piper, and then, dude, just to show that he's not sexist, throws in a little at Beth Moore, LPM, and at KS Pryor. So, like, the hang with them is a great place to be with an exclamation point. So Brian Rector keeping it really positive. And then, because it's Twitter, dude, because it always has to go negative, right?
And you know, it's a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy, because what did he say? I know certain parts of Christian Twitter, or what did he say? Cesspool?
Seemed like a dumpster fire.
Dumpster fire,
yeah,
okay.
Dumpster fire.
Yes, flaming pile of something.
And then his prophecy, his dumpster fire prophecy comes to pass when at Mountain Shepherdess.
Wow, I love that handle right
well,
there.
Well, dude, and surprising that something kind of crazy could come with at Mountain Shepherdess says, she says this, at Jared C. Wilson seems thin-skinned. Actually, we know him to not be thin-skinned, because if he was, he would hate Piper and I. He would straight up.
He would not ever interact with me. Although he doesn't really interact with you, let's be honest.
Maybe he does. Listen to this.
Oh, did he respond?
Well, no, he more than responded, Piper. This is what you missed in the last app.
Oh, goodness.
Guess who's blurbing at Jared C's new, like, teenage boy novel? Big T. All right. Renowned novelist Ted Kluck. So listen, this is how it went down. Okay. So he reaches out to me to ask me to blurb the novel. And I'm like, oh, that's funny. You know, I'll do it. But then I legit, like, forgot to respond. It wasn't like I was trying to, you know, get back at him or big time him or whatever from the last thing. So then, like, a week later, I get another email from Jared C. where he's accusing me of, like, stonewalling him. And then I hit him back and I'm like, baby, I'm not stonewalling, I promise. So I'm blurbing his like teenage boy novel. So I did tell him, though, I probably won't read more than like 4.5 pages. So that's my over under on a blurb read. But dude, me and Jared, we're thick as thieves now. Maybe we'll be taking a picture in front of a little brick painting or a mural.
Baby, go easy. You know, let's not overlap into territories that
we're going to be yours. Maybe me and Jared Sear are running out to TJ Maxx ahead of time to grab a new outfit.
Ted, if you and Jared Sear were going to get your engagement photos done, Ronnie claimed the angel wings. What mural would yours be? Would it be like a I believe in whatever city you're in? Like I believe in small middle America town. Like what are we looking at?
Yeah, because it's got to communicate that we care about small towns, because we're just a couple of regular small town pastors, you know, even though he lives in a major metro area and even though I'm not a pastor.
And that's neither is he at this point. So, yeah, that's exactly. Even better.
The best pastors are non-pastors. Let's be honest. But yeah, I don't know. I'll have to think about what kind of a mural backdrop I want for our engagement pics. Maybe we'll go with like. Maybe we'll go full Williamson County, Brentwood, though, and we'll go with like a dilapidated barn in the country. Mm. I feel like that's a solid engagement pick backdrop. But I got to give that some thought. Anyway,
I think like industrial underpass, you know, big concrete stanchions and stuff.
Wow.
I think
that gritty, kind of early 2000s subtext. We care about the city back when the city was the big thing.
Yeah, for sure.
So we'll go all like 2004 on it. I love it. Let's get back to Mountain Shepherdess, though. She deserves.
Yes. Sorry,
she
burying deserves the lead again.
So, Mountain Shepherdess says, at Jared C. Wilson seems thin-skinned. He recently blocked a Twitter friend of mine, a funny Christian dad from the South. Is Piper carrying on the unhealthy teachings of his father? Or has he broken ranks? Question mark. And that's it. And then you said, Piper, you said something really funny. You said Twitter is the best. And Ron said, I heart it so much. So, yeah, that's kind of in a nutshell, I think, everything great and terrible about Twitter. So Ron has a great moment. Piper gets checked by Mountain Shepherdess. And there we are. So
I still don't know if I've broken ranks. I don't know. I'm confused as to my own position.
I know. And Ronald and I are confused as to your position. It's kind of a delicate dance, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it is when you're, you know, when you won't come out and just state who you are and what you are, Pipe. Yeah, it is a delicate dance.
I know. I'm sorry I hold back so much on what I think and my Ron, general
is
convictions and opinions.
Is the Mountain Shepherdess Twitter handle, is that actually you? is that another account you have?
I mean, that would be something, that would be a handle I would love to have.
Dude,
Mountain Shepherdess. I love the Shepherdess.
Ronnie's burner account.
It's Ronnie's burner account. He's like Kevin Durant.
Of all the titles I could come up with, I come up with Mountain Shepherdess.
Absolutely, dude. Fun stuff, man. I don't know though. I think Piper both has and hasn't broken ranks.
Yeah, there's a combo. There's a combo thing going on there for sure.
For sure.
I don't think we're. I mean, Big T, I don't know about you. I'm not super concerned whether he has or has not broken ranks.
Well, I'm not either. And maybe that's an indictment of us, Ronald. You know, maybe that's
if you wait, if you wake me up in the morning, you go, hey, Big R, Pipe's broken ranks. I'd be like, huh?
Yeah.
And if you told me on the flip that he, Pipe is secure in the Piper camp, I'd be like, I still don't know what you're talking about right now.
I know it, dude. I know it. That's crazy. We gotta establish our positions on that.
I think you would be more concerned if I started writing articles about like how tattoos are wrong and how women shouldn't be police officers and stuff like that, which I guess that's
dude, could you
in
please
the
write
ranks.
Those articles satirically? I feel like that would be a lot of fun.
Maybe we should put that into a future project that we are scheming up.
That's right. A future big money publishing project that we can't exactly talk about yet.
Oh, the wandering to and fro project. Is that what you boys are talking about?
Dude. Yes.
The negotiating to and fro. That's right. That's right.
Our favorite.
We'll see. We'll see what kind of financial windfall comes our way from that.
Working at the speed of publishing.
Suffice it to say, boys, Twitter, great place, dude. Great little company.
Don't you miss it, Ted?
I do, man. Every time you send me these little screenshots, I'm like, doggone it. I'm just going to do it because I need to be a part of this joyfulness.
You need some joy in your life. But
I do, man.
Were you ever really on Twitter? Were you more like a Facebook guy or were you actually a Twitter guy?
Well, dude, okay. So like literally 13 years ago, whenever Facebook kind of started, I don't know how many years ago it was, but I was on Facebook for a couple of years kind of at the beginning of it. And then probably like 2011, I got off Facebook, and that was the last time I was on any kind of social media. So, yeah.
So you were never really on Twitter?
I was never in any way on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, dude, it's been almost a decade now, social media free. And, I just kicked myself.
You do all day.
Yeah. I kicked myself
because of those platforms.
Yeah. Well, yeah, of course I kicked myself because I'm missing just great stuff like this.
Somehow T loves to talk about how he's not on social media, but like every time we start the pod, he knows exactly what both of us have been doing on social media the past.
Well, no, I think
everybody sends me everything that you're doing.
I was going to say, he either gets sent screenshots or we're predictable. I'm not sure which.
I think it's a bit of both, to be honest.
I will say Ronnie's pastor Yoda work. I took a hiatus from social media, which didn't really count because I didn't announce it, but I just was off of it for, you know, a couple weeks.
You didn't get the credit for it.
Yeah. So yeah, no jewels in my crown, I guess. But I did notice when I returned and reengaged the wonderful world of social media, Ronnie's Yoda pastor work has been just off par chain, excellence. En fuego. He's killing it right now. So kudos to you, Ronnie.
Thank you. I've upped it considerably the last few weeks.
I noticed quality and quantity. It's like you took time off. You were re-engaged.
Yeah, definitely quantity. Why have you upped it, baby?
Definitely quantity.
Yeah, definitely. We're in agreement on the quantity. Okay. Was it an intentional, like, I'm going to double down on this? Or was it more like just subconscious?
I don't know. I'm just in such a I'm in such a weird, unsettled, uncomfortable place emotionally, physically, all the ease that I don't know. It's coming out of the thumbs right now. So I don't know.
Physically, baby, are you okay?
Yeah, doing all right. You know, I'm just it's just these are weird times, and I'm just like everybody else. I don't know what to do, and I'm unsettled, and I'm feeling just kind of strange and weird, and you know
I gotta use this as a segue, and I want to hear your thoughts on this, Big R. So, and gosh, my wife's gonna get mad at me, dude. She always gets really mad at me when I talk about whenever she kind of encourages me to listen to an Enneagram podcast, and then I listen to it and I crap all over it on our show. Shocker. She gets upset at that. But she had me listen to this Enne podcast, dude. And it was an interview with two fours, Enneagram fours, kind of about how like COVID is hitting them as fours. Mm. And dude, I realized whenever I listen to fours talk, I hate fours.
Yeah,
and it was no different than this. I very quickly like couldn't stand these people. But they were both, and especially one of them, it was a guy and a girl. So especially the guy was kind of like, you know, man, I think we need fours during this moment that we're in. And I've never been more inspired to write. And I'm listening to this going, Judas Priest, I've never been less inspired to write. Because like as the world's burning to the ground, like who needs another moderately selling book, you know, like who cares?
But I hope everybody does, because I got one coming out in October that's going to sell moderately.
That's what you meant to say, Big T. Minus Piper.
I hope everyone needs a moderately selling book.
Who needs another like mid-list Christian book? Hopefully everyone when we do our new deal. But yeah, I'm just listening to these people talk going, man, I don't know. There's something about what's happening right now which makes me feel like I've never been less inspired to create. But it sounds like, at least as it pertains to Twitter, Ronald, you've been pretty inspired lately.
Is that safe to say? It's an easy outlet, right?
Twitter's it's an easy outlet. That's right.
Easy
That's
outlet right. to get you know, bite-sized thoughts out, you know, to the pub. So But yeah, in terms of creation, yeah, I'm kind of with you, T. It's like everything feels very like uninspiring, and you know,
it just feels very, what's the point to me?
Yeah, there's a part of it that really feels like that, because you just can't, because I think as an NE4, you're constantly like, you're always looking for something in the future to look forward to fuel the present, at least for me.
And no, when that's that doesn't, a really when that good doesn't way to exist, say it, actually. Yeah, that's
when that
a really,
doesn't
really
exist,
good
it's really hard, because you're just like, well, man, I don't even know, like if I do anything right now, is it even going to matter in the future? And I'm a little pragmatic when it comes to things like that anyway, creation stuff. Me too. It's like, man, that's a lot of time expended for no return. And that's rough. I don't know.
Yeah.
That puts me in a vulnerable spot.
I know, man. Me too. Yeah. And I'm very much like you in terms of, and it's funny because fours aren't known for being pragmatic, but yeah, I think because you and I have made our livings doing creative things in the past. Like, yeah, there's a sense that if this isn't going to result in income and or if people aren't going to benefit from it, like, why would I do it? And yeah, while the world kind of circles the drain, it really seems kind of what's the point. But I noticed in these 2-4s on this podcast a real kind of strain of like self-delusion that I was envious of, you know, kind of like a my work matters sort of vibe from them. And I was like, dang, I want that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe it was less that I couldn't stand them, but more that I was jealous, you know? I'd really love to be able to, you know, delude myself into thinking that my work mattered.
But you're not, I mean, but there's always lulls in that. And like, yeah. So on a pod, they're not talking about the lulls that they experience or the valleys. They're just talking about this constant stream of, you know, creative fruit that's like, you know, that's blossoming.
Here's what's funny about them both, though. Like, so the host would ask him a question, and these two guests are both like quote unquote influencer types or whatever. So they would start out answering the question with like influencer talk, and after they both talked for 10 minutes, then it would get honest. And by the end of it, they were like, "Yeah, this has been like the hardest 6 months of my life. It's been terrible." But for the first like 8 minutes, it was influencer city, you know. So it's just funny.
Is that like telling people what they think they want to hear? Like, this is this is what we're supposed to do on
instead
a podcast,
of just
kind
being
of thing.
Honest from like minute one.
Yeah. It was like, yeah, well, COVID's been really challenging, but I feel like I've really grown from it. Yeah.
Interesting. In a lot of ways, the word that means nothing.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and there's some real kind of language that always comes out in these podcasts, like. Here's a couple of phrases. Number one, sit in. Like, I just really sat in the moment, and you know, COVID's given me a real chance to just kind of sit in my thoughts. What is that? What does it mean to sit in? Like, I don't know. So that one and lean into. That was really interesting, Ron. Lean into that, you know, which I realize I do that on this pod, but I don't know, like influencer talk, man.
Some of those are, you kind of end up with as a host, you know this, or, you know, if you've been interviewed enough, you kind of end up with transitional phrases and you realize they're just sort of verbal crutches and I don't think they mean anything. Like, lean into is, it was probably novel when it was first popularized, whatever, 4 years ago.
That's what I was going to say.
Now it's just, like, a verbal mm-hmm. sort of like saying it's just a filler phrase.
Exactly.
Well, boys, I have a question for you guys regarding Enneagram 4s, since I'm not one.
Wait on.
I would have said a year ago that no Enneagram number enjoys talking about their Enneagram number more than Enneagram 4s. Is that still true? Or have other numbers caught up because the Enneagram has invaded all of our minds?
Oh, that's a fascinating question. Ronald, you're the resident Enneagram coach on the program. I want you to address this first.
Oh, man. I'd never even thought about it like that, Pipe. That's pretty insightful. I got to give that one to you. I think the general sort of makeup of a four being so internalized and, you know, with those types of things would make it so that they would love to talk about their feelings. And this is a way for everybody to finally understand them, because the worst thing about a four is that we feel misunderstood. And so this is a way to sort of say, hey, look, you're getting me now, finally. And that's why the Enny would be big for fours. I also hear a lot of, fives and nines love to talk about Enny. Now nines are like the guys that just get everybody together, make sure everybody's getting along, that like to smooth over things. So they're sort of like this, I want to be the helper guy with a nine and a two. So they would like it too. And then fives are like kind of the brainy, you know, the cerebral.
My experience is that fives loathe talking about it, but that doesn't stop them. It's like they hate discuss it.
They don't want to talk about their feelings about it, but they want to talk about it from an intellectual level. So they would get really like excited about talking about it from that standpoint, I think. But I don't know. It does seem like, you know, so I'm thinking of a guy named Chuck DeGroat who talks a lot about the Enneagram, and he's a four. So yeah,
he's got a new book coming out about it.
Yeah, for sure, man. So it's
Where are we at in the market being flooded with Enneagram books?
I don't think we are, man. They're still
written by middle-aged white dudes.
There still hasn't been a lot of books written about it.
Get out of here, dude.
There's only a few books.
There's also a void because, like, one of the guys who wrote about it just got canceled for sexual harassment. So,
Dude, who is that?
Not the guy who Ronnie just brought up. As far as I know, he's great. Okay. And I think he's more coming from a pastoral perspective, right, Ronnie?
Yes, yeah.
Chuck?
Yes.
There's a guy named Christopher Hertz who kind of did a couple of the most popular books from the Christian perspective. So you have like Ian Krun and Suzanne Stabile, who you just loved listening to. I know.
Dude,
Ted.
Boy, what a joy, dude.
Yeah. Just a, incredible. Yep. It was a highlight for you. They were kind of the first ones that I'm aware of who really popularized it. And then Chris Hertz, but he just, his books were canceled and everything. And so there's a bit of a void right now. So maybe that's Ted, is that the inspiration you needed? You're going to write the next Enneagram book?
It might be. I'm really thinking about it.
Well, guys, I'll tell you what, man. I'm going to keep this vague, but I think there might be an opportunity for for us to contribute a chapter of thoughts on the Enneagram.
Okay, I'm listening.
That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, in a aforementioned hypothetical new project.
Correct.
Okay. Wow. I think that's a solid idea, Ronald. I think for me, like similar to what Pipe said, I do hate discuss it because deep down I enjoy discussing it, but like I have to make it look like I hate it. You know what I mean? Just because
the reason anybody loves or hates it is because it is talking about ourselves.
Yeah.
So you either love talking about yourself, in which case it's the best, or you hate revealing stuff about yourself, in which case it's the worst. And in either case, you get to talk at length about it. It's just, it's like that's a black hole of conversation that just sucks us all in.
Yeah, but it's a magical black hole of marketing. You know what I mean? Like, it's the best kind
of
black
hole. It's a black hole of self-discovery.
Yeah. Baby, speaking of marketing, what's the latest on that other book project you had in the works, which kind of hit some like, you know, current marketing gold standards? Any movement on that?
Yeah, a little bit, but nothing I can share.
Nothing you could drop on the program.
Exactly.
I can't gloat yet about predicting it accurately.
Correct.
Well, okay. We can do that, Piper, because we predicted the concept accurately, but you know, we'll gloat like doubly when the
contract. We'll get some gloating here.
Gloat and promote. We'll knock them both out.
That's what we do.
We call that glamote. Glamoting.
Which gets glum in there, which is perfect for you guys.
Yeah, perfect. Just a new phrase called glamoting, and I want to love it.
So. That's perfect. Well, I love it, boys. Now, here's the deal. Here's where we're at. We're at 32 minutes, okay? So we could wrap it now, make it like a tidy little comeback up for Piper. Or if we wanted to drag it out, we could drop one of these other apps that we
boys we have not even mentioned John MacArthur. How can we pause?
Okay,
yeah, we
so
would be.
Ronald wants to go there. Let's make that the last
dereliction
topic.
Of duty for us if we didn't do that.
Last topic, dude, and this is where from a persona standpoint, you guys have to come down on the right side of the whole John MacArthur thing because he's very divisive. So take great care in terms of how you do this, but that'll be our last topic. We'll get out of here at like 40 minutes, maybe. Ronald, talk about Johnny Mac.
Well, Johnny Mac, I mean, if you know, unless you've been like on a honeymoon the last couple of weeks,
unless you've been living your life and enjoying it, doing
unless you've been having a great life off of Twitter,
which I can tell you guys is well worth doing. I mean, you already had your honeymoon. You don't need to do that again. But you know, try getting away sometime. It's great.
Getting away sometime. Have you forgotten who you're talking to, Piper?
You know
you're
what? COVID,
of getting away.
Yeah, COVID has turned me upside down. I forgot he excelled at getting away.
Boys, and by the way, I'm getting away on Sunday. We need to talk about that off the air. That's a whole other discussion.
He invented getting away.
I am getting away on Sunday.
So getting Johnny away from Mac, already being away from it all.
Don't you work on Sundays, Ronnie?
Yeah, I actually do, boys.
Quote unquote.
I have my one day of work a week. You know how it works for guys in my profession. Johnny Mac defied the California governor's order, Newsom's order, about churches gathering. And he said, we're going to gather. you know, this is discrimination. This is a time for us to do civil disobedience as the body of Christ. And it doesn't matter what they tell us, we're going to do it. And so basically, Johnny Mac, as he typically does, caused a lot of stress for those who think, you know, we should be listening to what our higher officials are telling us. And he also empowered a lot of churches that have been sort of been waiting for this moment. We can kind of put our fists in the air and go, you know, yay, civil disobedience. We finally get to defy the higher powers and you know, kind of live out what we've always wanted to live out, which is just, you know, church before all. Mm-hmm. And so there's just been a lot of conversation, a lot of talk. Nine Marks put out an article talking about how Johnny Mac, we're not so sure you got this one right. And it's been
being not so sure about Johnny Mac is like that's the national pastime for like reform dudes. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, and that can go either way. Right. So you either so if you're part of a more moderate reformed tribe, which we would probably count ourselves in that, then you're pretty clear on some of these things. If you're part of what I have now coined as the FRR, the far reformed right tribe.
Wow, Ronald, that's good branding.
Yeah, then you are in with Johnny Mac. So if you're old school YRR like us, you've kind of transitioned, and you kind of hold a little bit more of a, I would say, you know, moderate opinion on some of these things, and you're going to struggle. But if you're part of the new FRR crowd, which is Conservative Baptist Network, I probably wasn't allowed to say that, I just did, and all this stuff, then yeah, Johnny Mac is your man. I mean, you're all in with Johnny.
Where are you at with Johnny, baby? Where are you at with Johnny on this issue? I want to make you take a side.
Oh yeah, I would not be in with John.
Okay, there it is.
Yeah, I'm not in with John.
There it is. Piper?
I'm not in with a shaking of the fist at the governance. If churches want to figure out how to reopen, we did that. We closed for a while and then reopened, but with all sorts of modifications. The thing that he did was, like, they posted photos, and it's like there's a, you know, 700 people in there sitting shoulder to shoulder, no masks, whatever. And so there was a – it just seems –
there's like a defiance there. There's we're going to do this thing.
It's defiance for the sake of defiance, exactly. Not for kind of weighing what I would consider like public witness and public perception, and not from a PR standpoint, but from a like, are we creating obstacles for people to accept Christianity, or are we making it palatable and easier? And I know that the people on in the FRR or on the FRR, which preposition is correct, Ronnie? It would be in or on.
I would say
it could be both. In.
Okay. Anyway, at the FRR, are going to look at it and go like, the gospel is an obstacle. The Bible says that, yada yada. But I think they're just using that as a license to create difficulties. And yeah, the whole thing seemed unnecessary at best, and pretty asinine and unnecessarily and pretty ridiculously rebellious at worst.
Well, Pipe, didn't you just feel too? I mean, it was like it was making a statement. It almost felt like a rallying statement. Like MacArthur obviously has a massive influence, very wide influence. So for him to sort of make this sort of defining and defying statement, it was basically kind of like rallying troops. For what reason? I guess we don't know, or we do know, right? But It was definitely more a giving. He was really giving permission to a lot of churches that just really, you know, value what he says, follows his leadership, to sort of do what they want to do and just kind of ignore the context. Right.
Yeah, it very, very much. And the rallying of the troops. But it seems like it's sort of rallying them to the wrong cause and built around the wrong things. And I get it from one perspective, just the simple emotional, like, it sucks not being able to do church the way we all want to. Like, no one likes this. You know, Ronnie, you and I both work at churches, and it's just like every week is a grind trying to figure out how do we do this well. Are you on your motorcycle, Ronnie?
No, I got some bikers around me right now.
The Vespas came in.
They're with.
Boy.
Boys, the Vespas, that was
a modified Vespa, because that thing was roaring.
They delivered them on the Vespas.
Exactly. Yeah, oh, dare to dream, baby.
Yeah, the rallying troops thing, I think that's what it was. It felt like sort of a here I stand, I can do no other, but he could have. He could have done any other, and this is not the place to plant the flag, and it just seemed unnecessary.
Well, there it is. Good content, boys. Good.
See, I love how you have like nothing to add to that.
I really don't, dude.
All right, Ted. Well, no, let's turn this around. Ted, are you with Johnny Mac on this or not? We both answered.
Are you with the YRR or are you with the FRR?
You're not going to say I'm with Johnny Mac on this one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ooh. Far right reform.
Hot take. Yeah. Content, I don't know. Dude.
We've got to be looking for a new podcast now, boys. It's getting heated.
I think we're not allowed to be friends with you anymore. That's what Twitter told me.
You cancel me. Let's do a cancellation on that.
We
on
would
the
cancel you, but you're not on anything. Yeah, to be canceled.
I'm not on anything that could be canceled. Doggone it.
I know.
Well, maybe I'll get on all those things so you guys can cancel me for being with Johnny Mac. That's unpopular take. Actually, I haven't really thought about it that much. But
you're just being contrarian right now.
I'm just being a little contrarian, just because it makes for good media. You know, we can yell and scream at each other for it. But boys, we've done what we always do on this program. And we've done it together, and you know what? That's made me very happy. It's good to have everybody back together on the program. Good to have Piper back from his celebrity wedding, and we will see you. Wait, no, I almost signed it off like I sign off my other podcast.
I leave for a week, and it just everything comes off the rails.
Nobody remembers anything anymore already.
Oh, we've done what we always do, Ted.
Yeah, we've done what we always do, and until next time.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
A powerful prayer life does not require hiking a mountain to be able to hear from God. God can meet us right in the middle of our busy lives to help, guide, and speak to us through prayer. I'm Christina Patterson, host of the Teach Us to Pray podcast, providing practical teaching and encouragement on how you can make prayer a natural and consistent part of your everyday life. I promise it won't require hiking a mountain, but you just might develop the faith to move one. Listen and subscribe at lifeaudio.com.